This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik with Howard Wilkinson. The Reds win, sweeping the Giants in a four-game series, and then they plummet, dropping three in a row to the Padres. So what can we expect from this split personality team the rest of the season? We'll try and figure it out. Then later in the hour, we'll be talking about the Dayton Dragons and the Florence Freedom. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Joining us to talk about the Reds, Cincinnati Inquirer sports writer John Arardi. Good afternoon.
Hi, Marianne. How are you?
I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just don't get it. I mean, I claim to be a baseball fan, but the Reds, four-game sweep, set a record practically in the new ballpark for the Giants' first four-game sweep there at home, and then the Padres. What the heck is going on?
Welcome to the Cincinnati Reds 2014 edition.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, it's really confounding. I mean, I was listening to Marty Brenneman last night, and he was talking about the month of June. The teams with the most victories in baseball were the Cincinnati Reds, New York Yankees, and guess who the third one was? Milwaukee Brewers.
Wow. That's why they can't get any ground.
And that's why they can't gain any ground on the Milwaukee Brewers. Even though, head-to-head, so far, they're 5-2 against the Brewers.
Mm-hmm. And they better be on their game this weekend with the Brewers coming to town.
But what happened in San Diego?
I think the biggest thing was the pitching that the Padres ran out there at them. I was writing about this, about Billy Hamilton, the ball he dropped in center field that Cueto gave up with the bases loaded. All right, so what, he catches it. The Reds still didn't score any runs. You can't win the game if you don't score any runs. They didn't. They got one night where Latos gave up the one hit and they lost the game. I'd never seen that before, but they said San Diego had done it one other time this same month. So, in other words, if you face good pitching, there's a chance you're going to get shut down. So it's hard to build upon momentum that they have from San Francisco when they get that quality of young pitching thrown at them. It's easy to say the Reds flopped or they didn't care, they weren't trying, but I just think they got hit by a buzzsaw. The Padres have good young pitching, and they have a very good bullpen.
You got to give credit to the Padres for their pitching. And the Reds have had a history of when they come up against young pitchers whom they have not seen before, not seen very much of not hitting, not doing very well. Because you can look at all the scouting reports you want, but it's not until you stand in the box and you see that cutter coming at you, you know, there's nothing you can do.
It's a good point, because in San Francisco they faced more veteran pitchers and they scored well every game. So a lot of time it's who you face and when. But really, at this point in the season when you're starting from so far behind because of the injuries, you can't afford to give away games. And this team has given away a lot of games.
Yes.
And mainly they gave away that game in San Diego where Latos pitched the one-hitter. You can't lose that game. Period.
Yeah.
What about just the whole way the season's going? It started out so many injuries. People are sort of starting to get healthy now, although there still seem to be questions about Joey Votto. Any idea what kind of condition he's really in?
I think he's in bad shape. The interesting thing about this season, and you've alluded to it, the reason the season has such a weird feel is you're getting really good performances from places where you didn't necessarily expect it. Mesoraco, breakout year behind the plate. Frazier, breakout year at third base. Hamilton in center field is looking like the rookie of the year. Typically, when you get those kinds of performances around the edges, you're talking about a World Series season. Instead, because of the injuries to Votto, Bruce got off to an injured start, and of course he's had trouble catching up. The core of the team isn't producing. If it had been, the Brewers would be coming in here facing a Reds team that was right with them, neck and neck, maybe tied, game up, game behind. Instead, all these marvelous ancillary seasons, the core isn't doing well, starting pitching's fabulous, middle of the bullpen's having trouble, and all of a sudden, you start losing some games you should be winning, and you're looking at being 6-7 games behind, a half a season to go.
And that middle of the bullpen has lost quite a few games, too.
It's hurt them a lot. I mean, typically, you always say, if you get into the other team's bullpen, you got a chance, and it used to be the Reds the last few years.
Which is weird, because for the last few years, those guys were very good.
So, and consequently, the Reds are now seeing what they used to do to teams, which is get into the bullpen and beat them. I've heard the statistics. Last 8 or 9 games, 4, 5, 6 bullpen guys have only thrown 12 innings. Not only aren't they doing well, they're not even pitching because the manager can't trust them. It's a starting staff, Broxton and Chapman, and basically nothing in the middle.
And doesn't that mean that, I mean, as you run these starting pitchers out there 7, 8 innings a game, mm-hmm. and you get into August and September, there may be some sore arms.
There could very well could be. Staff. We have issues already, and not to be a doom and gloom guy, but we're looking at Simon. There's no way he can go the whole year. He's never been a starting pitcher before. We've got Cingrani in Louisville. They love to have him fill in, but they can't because he's on a disabled list with a shoulder problem. So there are issues. And again, a lot can be solved this coming homestand right before the All-Star break with a bunch of wins, maybe 7, 8 wins out of the 11 games they play. But they've got to go out and do it.
You said you thought Votto was in bad shape. What do you think is going on? He's not talking.
I think it's the knee. It's more than just the quad. I think it goes back to previous season where he got hurt. I've heard some fans make the statement, I didn't personally see it, that Votto slid into third base at some point during this road trip and really grimaced and kind of gave Bruce a dirty look, like, why didn't you tell me that bunt was coming? I had to really bust it to get down here to third base. And I think he's arguably pretty close to being put on the disabled list, Marianne, because it's hard to watch this guy play. But it's a tribute to how good he is at getting on base that even Joey Votto, singles hitter, is still valuable to this lineup because he gets on base better than anybody else, even without his legs.
Right, yeah, and he walks a lot.
He walks a lot. Yeah. Of course, the issue is
because he's got a good eye.
But it's a good point because are the pitchers going to keep pitching to him knowing he can only hit singles?
Exactly.
They're less likely to be nibbling, giving him walk situations when they know he can't hurt me. He's not going to double off the wall. He won't hit a home run. Well, instead of worrying about a home run, I'll just throw it down the middle and see what he does. Well, most he can do is hit a single.
Right.
Now, you alluded to Billy Hamilton earlier. Let's talk about that. Everybody was a little concerned about – nobody was afraid he'd be able to steal bases, but they were a little concerned, would he be able to hit? Would he be able to field? I think he's proving himself.
He is. He's been fabulous in center field. I would argue he's the best defensive center fielder in baseball. If he has the same second half as he had the first half, we're looking at a National League Rookie of the Year. And again, he's actually outperforming Sin Soo Chu, who everybody was crying about leaving. Well, don't cry too much. This kid's pretty good in center field.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. One thing that most people didn't understand about Billy Hamilton, you had to watch him up through the minor leagues. He would always start off slow in every year, you know, at every level. And then he would pick it up and pick it up and pick it up. And he would always finish strong. And that's what he's doing at the major league level. And he's a smart kid.
Yeah, very high IQ and terrific base runner. Most importantly, is very daring.
Yeah.
Isn't afraid to try to score on situations. The other night where he tried to score on a sack fly, more or less a deep fly ball, pop up to second base. He tries to score. He gets thrown out, but he did the same thing successfully in St. Louis. So how can you blame the kid? And really, when he's in the lineup, and it's true for Votto too, when those two guys are in the lineup, this team's got a good chance.
Yeah.
We should mention Billy Hamilton. You talk about possible Rookie of the Year. He is Rookie of the Month last month.
Yes, he was. And I think personally, and Howard alluded to this, is that he was a slow starter, and he had that opening day where I think he struck out 3 or 4 times against Wainwright, and everybody's thinking, oh, my God, the sky's falling, including me. But now you've seen it pick up where he's going through the league for a second time, seeing these pitchers again, and all of a sudden looks very confident. He's still popping up the ball a little bit too much, but by and large, no complaints on this kid because, without question, one of the Reds' most dynamic players the first half of the season.
Don't you think it makes a difference who this guy has had as mentors?
Oh, without question.
I mean, you're talking about Delino DeShields, people like Ken Griffey Sr.,
Eric Davis.
Yeah. You can't do a whole lot better than that. Joe Morgan has helped. You can't do a whole lot better than that. And the good thing is, Billy listens to
him. Yes, he does. He's a sponge.
He's a sponge. He listens to these guys, and he wants to learn, and he wants to get better.
And he's probably here a year early because they couldn't afford to pay Chu. But the point is, for a baptism by fire, this has been very good and a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if you're a little bit down on the Reds in terms of their chances of getting to the postseason, I think they'll get there because the starting pitching is so good. But even if you're down on them, this kid's still so much fun to watch. He'll make it go to the ballpark because you know you're going to see him five times a night hit the plate and probably make a good play in center field that night too.
Yeah.
Well, he seems to make other people pretty nervous. The other teams are pretty nervous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he drives, you know, once he gets on base, pitchers lose their minds, catchers lose their minds, fielders just go, you know.
Right.
Well, they seem to, like, trying to get him out and, like, overthrowing the base all the time. Right. Yeah. Just
and
crazy.
That, I mean, that's the fun part about, you know, the previously
he's
most.
He disrupts.
He does. And the last guy who, for me, kept me on the edge of the seat like this was Joe Morgan with those leads off of first base.
Right.
And this kid, in a way, is even better because he's faster than Joe. Not as quite a good a base stealer, but, I mean, Joe never popped up on pop-ups to second base. This kid's doing some strange-looking things I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I've been watching baseball 40 years, and Howard, you go back just as far as I do.
Yeah.
You talked about Devin Mesoraco having a pretty good year. People also pretty worried when Ryan Hannigan left, I think, a little bit. Gosh, would Mesoraco be able to call a game as well and play as well? And what do you think?
A huge season. Batting in the four hole, cleanup man, still needs a little bit of work on his defense, but it's a tribute to the kid that I think the three areas where you hope you could get more production, because they got nothing in 2013, were left field with Ludwig, catcher with Mesoraco, and then Hamilton and center. Well, they're doing very well at two out of the three positions, and as I said, typically you would take two out of three. You would think, okay, that's a postseason team. The team's struggling again because, not because of the ancillary players, the core guys, Votto and Bruce.
Mesoraco, you know, because of, he's been on the DL twice,
yes,
has only played 49 games. The numbers are 15 home runs, 41 RBIs. He has an on-base percentage of .380.
Wow.
And his OPS is 1.025. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, you know, I loved Ryan Hannigan. He was great, a great catcher, handled pitchers very well. But the Reds did not draft Devin Mesoraco as their number one draft pick in order for him to be a backup catcher at the prime of his career.
Well, they used to say about Jack Nicklaus toward the end of his career that he was a legend in his spare time. That applies to Mesoraco,
yeah,
too.
Right.
Kids hardly playing. Those are eye-popping numbers. I wasn't even aware. I knew about the 15 home runs, but my gosh, .380 on-base percentage, that's getting it done.
Yes.
All-Star Game's coming up. Are we going to see any Reds in the All-Star Game?
I think you'll definitely see Cueto, although the issue with Cueto is he's scheduled to pitch the last Sunday before the All-Star break, which means he can go to the All-Star Game, but he's not officially on the roster. That is if they have him pitch here Sunday. They might jiggle the rotation to find a way to get him to be able to pitch that All-Star Game. I think the regular season is more important than the All-Star Game, but my gosh, this kid's been slighted in the past. You'd love to see him get the opportunity. Frazier's another guy who deserves it, probably won't get it. Fifth in the voting, having a terrific year. You mentioned Mesoraco's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Frazier's are just as good. And then I think you will see Chapman. So I predict somehow Cueto winds up on the All-Star team, and Chapman beyond that, not expecting anybody else to make it. What about you, Howard?
Yeah, I mean, I think Frazier really ought to be there. He ought to be picked as a reserve anyway.
Yeah.
You know, he's earned it.
I hope he gets that opportunity.
You know, he's improved so greatly, you know, over the last year, and he's putting up the numbers.
He is. And
comparable to just about any third baseman in the game.
Right, and not that it matters for the All-Star game, but in terms of this club and the clubhouse,
right,
to me, he's become the face of the organization.
He's become a leader.
Yes, he has, and that's fun to watch. Now, the thing about Frazier, he's not a Greg Nettles type. He's not a Buddy Bell. He's not a Mike Schmidt. This, who knows? This may be his only opportunity for the All-Star game. He's having a great season, so I hope the manager picks him. He doesn't deserve to be a fill-in. He deserves to be the starting third baseman on a National League All-Star team.
Right, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're talking baseball today with Inquirer sports writer John Arardi and WVXU's Howard Wilkinson. Our phone number, if you have a question or a comment, 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Coming up a little later in the program, we'll be talking with folks from the Dayton Dragons and from the Florence Freedom. So if you have a Reds question, get it in now, 513-419-7100. You mentioned Aroldis Chapman. His injury early in the year was one that I think alarmed a lot of people. Many pitchers don't come back from that kind of an injury. he seems to be okay. Any sign that he has any ill effect from it?
No signs. And in fact, maybe it shook his brain loose because now all of a sudden he's looking like a starting pitcher. Yeah. He's got four pitches. Howard, he can throw a changeup.
Exactly.
He's got a slider. I mean, my gosh, you know that Brian Price, the manager, is looking at this guy thinking, starter, starter, starter.
Right.
This dude, not only wasn't he affected by that, but again, he somehow became a better pitcher. And I think a lot of it's got to do with that changeup. Can you imagine being up there? At one point, he's throwing 101, 102. Then he comes in with a change about, what's his change about, 90, 91?
Yeah.
Most guys lucky to have that as a fastball. Incredible specimen, great repertoire. Don't be shocked if in the future he's a starting pitcher here.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, who would leave?
That's the issue, and that's why I say, and Howard can speak better to it than I can, but you're talking about three guys coming available for the free agent season after 2015.
Right.
Latos, Leak, and Cueto. Three money guys. They can't afford to
sign
them all.
They're not going to be able to sign them all. No. That's right. And that's why you got to have a deep farm system, which they do.
Right.
They've got some
good young arms. And
up.
They've picked up the young Cuban.
Picked up this kid, Iglesias, who they want to turn into a starter.
Right.
So, but no, they're not going to be able to sign all three of those guys. I mean, that's just not, you know, for a small market team like this, it's not going to happen.
And the funny thing is, Leak has really come of age this season. I've always liked him. Latos, after being on the disabled list a long time, he's back. And most impressively, Cueto. And the problem with Cueto is you're looking at a guy that's going to make 4 to 5 times as much per season when he becomes a free agent as he does now. He might be the odd man out, and it's only because he's so doggone good.
Right.
What about Brian Price? First year as a manager, some people love him, some people don't. What do you think? Is he doing a good job?
Well, I've talked to Howard about this a lot privately, so I know his opinion. It's the same as mine, which is we like the guy. We think he's been dealt a tough hand with all these injuries. He's stayed the course. He hasn't taken it out on the players. He's a first-year manager with a lot of pressure on him, but he's kept him even Steven, and all of a sudden, especially before they hit the San Diego buzzsaw, they were looking like a real baseball team. So I give him kudos for having a tough hand and playing it very, very well.
Yeah, and I give him a lot of credit for moving this lineup around and trying to find the right combination for the right pitch, you know, right pitcher. I have no complaints whatsoever about Brian Price.
And you know the starting pitchers love him,
yeah.
And the bullpen
loves him because he's
always got their back. He knows how to use them.
Right.
And I think the position guys have related to him well. I like the fact, and you've seen it, Howard, where he'll call the squeeze play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Schumacher the other night, and Billy tried one the other day and didn't get it down, but then he slaps a single to right. I like his aggressiveness. I like the way he manages to win every game. None of this stuff about, well, we'll sacrifice a game in April, try to win one in September. No, he's trying to win games right now, and the reason is because they need to.
And that is what he said he would do.
Yes.
From the day he was hired. He said, you know, that's the way we're going to play.
And, you know, the thing is, I think – people were hoping he would have maybe stretched out Chapman a little bit more, used him a little bit more in two-inning situations. That hasn't transpired, but everything else he's promised, I think he's delivered on.
What about Bob Castellini and Walt Jocketty? You think they're happy with him?
I think they're happy with him. I mean, I thought you were going to ask me if Castellini was happy with Walt Jocketty. That might be a more interesting question.
Really? Well, all right. I'll ask that one.
You know what? I don't think it's a huge issue because they are buddies from the St. Louis days, but Howard knows this too. Castellini has no intention of leaving a legacy behind that doesn't include a world championship.
Right.
So he likes Walt. That's his guy. But Bob's expecting results. And anything but results is going to make Bob look at the guys who are running the club and saying, what's wrong, fellas? Why aren't we winning world championships here?
I've heard it from Bob Castellini's mouth. You know, he says, I'm not getting any younger, and I want that World Series ring.
And that's why fans love him, and that's why they should love him. And Walt, that's why a lot of times I see Walt walking around with a nervous look on his face. He's trying to win baseball games.
Sure.
He has to win baseball games.
Well, is he likely to do anything? And when is the time he could make a trade or do
anything? Well, that's a great question because we come up toward the end of July where really they may need to make a move for another bullpen pitcher and – maybe they have to make a move for a hitter. I don't know about you, Howard, but if I were a starting pitcher, I'd get sick of looking at one run, two runs. And again, it's easy to get spoiled by the previous 8 games before they went into San Diego. But my gosh, you don't want to squander starting pitching like this. You and I have been here, well, you've been here longer than me, but I've been here since 1974. Mm-hmm. This is the best starting pitching I've ever seen the Reds have in 40 years.
Yes.
You don't want to squander that.
The only thing I might do if I were Jockley, too, is look around and see if there is somebody, a utility player with power who can play first and third.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And bring them on, you know, to be able to spell Votto, to be able to spell Frazier.
It's a great point because I think the entire season, Marianne.
Santiago's okay, but he doesn't hit.
Right. We're not going to see the Votto of 2010 or even 2012 this season. You can tell if it's a knee injury, he'll be lucky to play 120 games. And I think you need that guy because we don't want to see Santiago at third base. Leave Frazier there, play Brian Pena a little bit. Pena a little bit at first base, but still not quite enough because as Sparky Anderson used to say about role players, if you play them there long enough, you'll figure out why they're role players. And a little bit of that might be coming to bear with Brian Pena. Even though I love the kid, tremendous backup catcher, it's expecting a lot to put him at first base on a long-term basis and get big results.
Yeah.
What about, you know, you talk about wanting to maybe make some moves. All of that costs money. How's attendance been? Is enough money coming in? Are people coming to see the team this year?
Howard's down there more often than I am. What do you think about
well,
the attendance?
Yeah, I mean they passed the 1 million mark earlier than they ever have in the history of Great American Ballpark.
Good
so
sign.
I mean I think they're doing very well. Looks like tomorrow night's game is going to be a sellout. They're down to standing room only tickets.
Good.
And I think they're going to have good crowds for Saturday and Sunday too. So I don't think that's a big problem. You know, I mean, people are going to the ballpark.
Right. I think they projected maybe 2.4, 2.5 this season. They should be on target for that. I mean, the team coming to town, Milwaukee, they've got the blessing of that roof up there in Milwaukee, and it's hard to draw a lot of fans in April and early May when you have inclement weather. Milwaukee doesn't have to face that. But by and large, for a small to mid-level market, this is a very healthy franchise. Thanks to the Castellini family.
Is there, is the Billy Hamilton draw of what's bringing people in, even though they might lose, the fact that they get to see somebody like Billy doing who knows what on the bases?
He's a big issue. Aroldis Chapman, you got a chance to see those two guys in the lineup. Hey, baby, I'm ponying up some money to watch Billy Hamilton and Aroldis Chapman.
That's
play.
Worth the price of a ticket. Yeah.
Just those two guys alone. Right. Not to mention which there were a lot of expectations for this team. The starting pitching is so good, you know you're going to get a well-pitched performance every night. Why not come down and watch them? Because they're going to be in the games. They've shown
plus,
it so far.
Yeah, you made a good point about the Castellinis. They've made it a better experience.
They have. They
down
really
at
have.
The ballpark.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, well, tell us what's different for somebody that hasn't been there in a while. What's different?
Well, I mean, it's just a more fan-friendly place than say Riverfront Stadium was. You know, the umpire or the ushers are no longer grumpy, you know, and yelling at people all the time. I mean, they're friendly. They're welcoming. There are all kinds of things to do and to see. There's, you know, good Lord, there's so much food down there now.
Yeah.
Different varieties.
The video
food.
Board is great.
The video board is
craft
great.
Craft beers are great.
The Friday night fireworks are popular.
The problem is not everything off the field. It's what's on the field. And even with that, and this is why I think fans continue to come, they know they're going to see a good game. They're going to see arguably the best pitching in baseball, certainly top five rotation in baseball. And, again, if you've been around here for a while, in my case 40 years, you've lived a long time waiting for a starting pitching staff like this. And that's why I think Castellini will do something by the end of July because – Bob's been around even longer than you and me, Howard. He knows how good the starting pitching is. He doesn't want to squander it either.
That's right.
We, before the season began, all gathered here and we're chatting about the team as well. And one of the things we talked about was the role that this whole challenge on a call and the replay and all of that. What do you think is that done to the game? Has it been good for the game? Has it been not so good for the game?
Well, you know, I don't like it as much. Howard might have a different feel for it. I tend to be I won't say a purist, but I am a guy who likes the way things used to be. I like the managerial arguments with the umps, and I like no stoppage of play.
Right.
And most interesting to me, and Brian Price has been outspoken about this, there have been times, Howard, we've watched this on the video board 12 or 15 times where you know a play has gone a certain way. No question it'll be overturned. and the result comes back from New York, nope, that's not what happened. Right. We're not overturning it. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, I just watched that 15 times on a video board, and you're telling me you're not overturning it? It's frustrating to see that.
It really is. And it is time-consuming. I mean, I've gotten to the point, you know me, I sit down under my scorecard,
right,
and I see a close play. I don't do anything.
Right. Right. You wait.
I have to wait because when I see that manager come out of the dugout,
right,
you know, and go to the crew chief, I know there's going to be a delay.
Right.
So I have to, you know, so I have to sit around and wait.
It's gotten weird. I mean, it might be great. It might be good if you're 10 years old and you're a first-year fan, but
yeah,
if you know the way it used to be, you don't like to see the stoppages. I mean, in the postseason, no question, you definitely want to get it right. But for me, and I know there's no easy way to do this, the rest of the season, man, I just let him go. But you know what? That horse is out of the barn. It's not going to get not going to happen. Get used to it, John Arati. This is baseball 2014. Get over it.
Do you think it lengthens the game?
Yeah, it definitely does.
Oh,
I think we've all of a sudden they were talking about how baseball games are longer than ever. I think the best thing they could do, and you know me, Howard, I've gone back in the books, not just intentionally to look for this, but I know from writing about the 1919, 1939, 1940 World Series, these games were being played hour 20, hour 25.
Yep.
And
that's right.
I know television makes a difference, but my gosh, I've watched the film. I just watched a film on newsreel from 1919. These guys, they didn't get out of the box. They got into the box. The pitcher pitched. Next pitch, here it came. If you would just keep the batters in the batter's box,
right,
we'd be okay. But these guys, every pitch, got to, you know, step out, fidget with something,
right,
take forever, get back in. I mean, come on, let's play baseball.
And I thought a few years ago they had tightened up the rules.
They said they were going to. And not to mention, there's rules on the books that say you must deliver the pitch within X amount of seconds. And especially the relievers, they get in there, they're taking forever.
They had Cleveland Indians had a triple play, a weird, you know, 7-2-4 triple play the other night. Hmm. There were two challenges in that play, so they had to, you know, sit around and wait twice.
Triple play takes about 0.2 seconds to complete, and it took them a minute and a half to get the call right. I mean, my gosh, I didn't see that play, but you start calling triple plays into question, something's wrong with baseball.
Tell us what's going to happen the second half for the Reds. What do you think? Make a prediction. Are they going to get anywhere?
I think they're going to the postseason. I think they'll make what they call the coin flip game, the one they played last year in Pittsburgh. Beyond that, it's hard to say. You know, I expect a pennant race. Most importantly, I've said this till I'm blue in the face, give me a good pennant race in September. I'm happy whether they get to the postseason or not, because it is about the big 162. Even if they don't make it, so what? Give me a pennant race, and I think they're going to be in it. What more can you ask for?
Yeah, as a fan, I agree. I mean, you know, all I want to see is a competitive, you know, games in September.
Sure.
Games that mean something. And I think, you know, you're probably right. I mean, you know, most likely they're going to get that second wild card spot, and it's going to be like last year. But, you know, as long as those games in September mean something.
That's what I live for.
Right.
That's why you go to games in April and May, hoping you're going to see good games in September. I think we're going to get them. And for that, again, kudos to the Castellini family. Brian Price, if he has any hair left on his head by the end of the season, he'll be in good shape. The guy I worry about, we've talked about, Joey Votto. Howard, if he can get healthy, no question they're going to the postseason.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We've been talking to Cincinnati Inquirer sports writer John Arati. In just a moment, we'll hear about the Dayton Dragons. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.